So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I am Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It is Friday, Matt. End of the week. Week 11 has already started. We had a game last night. With the
it's a good game, actually.
The Tennessee Titans vanquishing the Green Bay Packers and probably ending Green Bay season.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean they're not gonna. They can't win a division at this point.
No.
Minnesota's got too big of a lead.
And I said Tennessee's the better team.
Yeah.
I mean, they really.
Yeah,
are.
They were.
Yeah, they're just a better team.
You know, Green Bay's in a bad place right now. And it's just, you know, Rodgers doesn't look good. Aaron Rodgers has now gone 16 consecutive games without a 300-yard passing game.
Really?
That's a full season's worth of games.
Full season, yeah. And it's not just his receivers.
Yeah.
You know, Christian Watson's coming on a little. I mean, the receiver situation has not helped him at all. But he's not looking like he's having fun either.
You know, no.
You know, we were talking about it on my podcast today. Like, I don't think it's this time. But are you going to see Jordan Love at some point this year? Like
that's where I was going to go with that. You probably,
if
for
his
them,
ego will allow it. I mean, he carries so much weight, he can't, you know, mess with them. But it sure would be nice to put two or three games of tape of Jordan Love or Jordan Love tape out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And at least know what he is.
One way or the other, just to.
If he's the successor, are you going to trade him? I mean, at least see what he can do in an NFL game.
Is Aaron Rodgers the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers in 2023?
Well, the one thing that we were talking about that I wasn't certain of, because he signed this new deal.
Right.
And I don't know how tradable he is. I was thinking when the deal happened that it was a real anchor, you know, that he was going to be a Packer. Because if not, and I were Green Bay, I'd love to turn him into picks, you know, considering where they're at. They need a fair amount of stuff. They're not a first-round receiver away from winning the NFC, in my opinion, especially at his age. And does he want to be there? I mean, that's the thing.
Well, here's so his base salary next year is $1.165 million.
Yeah.
Green Bay would then pay $13 million of his signing bonus. There's also a $14.5 million option and a $50,000, which would drop in the cap, drop in the water.
Well, no, that sounds bad in terms of moving him.
So, yeah, then it goes up. The future years aren't bad either. But for Green Bay, the dead money.
I'd say there has to be big dead money issues.
$99 million. $99 million. That would eat up a third of your cap space.
Now, that's why we were talking about it, I guess.
More than a third.
So he's going to be a Packer.
More than half.
Right?
Yeah, he's going to be a Packer next
right.
year.
I mean, so you can plan accordingly.
2024 goes down to $24 million in dead cap space.
One more year, he's going to be in Green Bay.
Yeah.
99.
That is going to be an uncomfortable marriage.
I think.
Yeah.
So I guess the next question is, will LaFleur be back?
Unless there's some kind of restructure there. I mean,
there is a way to tear
Rodgers
it
was already unhappy with Gutekunst, their you know, GM. Now does he then turn that over to?
I don't know. I mean, he looks unhappy with everything. This is the way he goes
and
on
he'll
McAfee
be 40
show,
next year.
And he'll be 40. I mean, I guess he could just retire and walk
he
away,
could.
You know, and just get on with his life's work. But you suggesting could he be a Colt or a Commander or something like that?
Because, you know, that's what's going to come up and people say, well, the Steelers, if the Steelers had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
It could look like Russell Wilson.
Yeah. I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure. These end of career quarterbacks all of a sudden, their stock has dropped dramatically in the last 365 days.
It really has.
Days, you know, right.
You know, and it just, again,
Father Time's undefeated.
He really is, and, you know, he catches up with everybody.
Yeah.
I don't care how many, you know, mushrooms you eat. And,
right.
You know, full-body cleanses you go do.
And avocado ice cream. Right.
It does catch up to you no matter what. It just always kind of rubbed me the wrong way in years past that when some fans would say, well, if Ben Roethlisberger would have taken better care of himself in his 20s and 30s, he could still – no.
He lasted a very long time
in the league.
Right.
18 years is a long time.
And was sacked more than anybody.
Not anymore. Brady's passed him.
But, I mean, in terms of punishment per year or whatever.
And it was his style of play.
Yeah.
You know. Joe Burrow, moving on to this week's subject, has some of that same Big Ben-ishness to him. I was thinking about that. He holds the football and will take big hits and sacks because he's always looking to make the big play.
Yeah, I mean, for the betterment of the team, and it's a toughness thing.
It's very much like young Ben Roethlisberger.
It is. His average time to throw is now very quick.
Yeah.
But sacks are on him, big plays are on him in a good way, a bad way. I mean, yes, they have a lot of quick game in their passing game, but that doesn't mean when a shot's there, he's not holding the ball for a while.
Well, they've started to throw the ball in recent weeks. Mixon's catching more balls now than ever before. So that cuts down on the time a little bit there. He's still a guy that wants to sit in the pocket and look down the field.
Yeah. I mean, all the things I've been critical of Kenny of being too fast to move, Burrow will sit there and doesn't mind getting drilled in the teeth. And it's a strength, but it also can be a weakness. I mean, because he takes a beating. He's missed plenty of time already in his short career. He's also converted a lot of big plays. And their line's not good, but sacks are on him, too. I mean, it is the bottom line, you know.
Much the same way some of the sacks last week were on Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a different style.
Right. Pickett was looking to run.
Right.
And I don't know how much of that. I mean, you remember the last game that they had played before this past one was against the Eagles. The Eagles got legitimate pressure on Pickett.
Oh, yeah. They earned their sacks.
Yes.
I didn't think the Saints did.
Of the six sacks that they had, maybe two of them were legit.
Yeah, I think I was just on Stan's show, and I said almost the same thing. I said the Saints rushed the passer like a two-sack team to me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put it in that context. You know, he ran into stuff or, you know, dropped his eyes or didn't get rid of the ball when he should have. And, you know, obviously – Kenny made plays. He ran. I mean, you know, that's great, but that's not basic quarterbacking.
Yeah, right. You know? I just wonder how much of that was the residue of that previous week's game.
Yeah.
Where, the Eagles hit him hard a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were beating up on him.
And that's one of these things.
You can't have it.
Right.
I mean, you just can't have it. Right.
Yeah. So I wonder if we see a correction on that this week. The Bengals don't rush the passer well.
They don't win a lot of one-on-one matchups.
They got 14 sacks this season, which
amazing.
Is really low.
Really low.
For a team that has some good pass rushers.
Yeah, and if you notice, a lot of their pressures and sacks are on loops and
stunts and
things like that, overload blitzes or whatever. They have some good pass rushers, but I know maybe I sell Hendrickson short because he is productive. He was really good his last year with the Saints. Whenever the Bengals signed him, I'm like, oh, you're buying one-year production. This guy's not that great.
I had somebody throw it back in my face.
And he's been really good for him.
Because I thought they should have kept Shaq Lawson.
Me too. I'm like,
Carl Lawson, I should say.
Yeah, who got hurt with the Jets, so who knows what he would have done that
So
year,
when they let Lawson leave and then signed Hendrickson, I tweeted that they would have been better off signing Lawson to the money that he got as opposed to the money they paid Hendrickson more.
Yeah. And the Jets gave Lawson a lot of money too.
Right,
since he lost financially in the deal.
Yeah. And earlier this year, somebody, this is really playing out well. Well, first of all, Lawson missed all last year.
He blew out his knee or whatever.
With an Achilles, I think.
Or something bad. Yeah. And he's playing well this year.
And, you know, I mean, they're two different style of players.
I think that's why they did it.
Yeah.
Is they want the power end. You know,
long and
setter, 270 pounds. You know, Lawson would fit in here as a traditional.
Lawson, I remember looking at him in a draft and thinking, James Harrison.
Yeah.
He's got the same body type.
More of a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Because he's like 6 foot tall and, you know, has all rushes like a maniac.
And but that's who the Bengals have wanted for the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they want – remember they drafted that big kid from Ukraine and, you know, they had Dunlap. And They've always had the guys that look like power forwards. Exactly. Yeah. And Lawson didn't quite fit with them. But I was the same way. I'm like, I'd rather have Lawson when they both were on the free agent market.
That brings me to – Zach Gentry. And I thought Mike Tomlin brought up a really good point earlier this week when he was talking about Gentry. He was asked specifically about the tight ends blocking. And he said that's one of the things that makes Gentry – he said, look, we know he's not a great player in the passing game.
Sure.
But he looks like a 4-3 defensive end, and he can block those guys.
Yeah, right. He has the length.
He's 6'8". He's a big dude.
He's a big dude, and he doesn't get – I mean, the long arm factor. I mean, a nice thing about Hendrickson and Dunlap and these long guys is they get their hands on you before you get them
on
them.
Well, you can't do that with Gentry.
And it's tough. Yeah, really tough to do with Gentry. Those guys like to run through you, too. They're not Von Miller, knee bender.
Right.
You mentioned Harrison, how low he used to get. That's not their style. You know, they're loopers and stunners
and get around and grab for the reach for the quarterback. And,
I think Gentry stacks up well against that stuff.
Yeah, against
I don't
this
blocking Von Miller,
right?
You know,
but this kind of team, this kind of defensive end matches. He matches up well against.
He matches up well with
that. Yeah,
no, you're right. That's a good point. So yeah, that's Gentry's strengths.
Yeah. You
know?
So
I don't know what to do about Gentry. Like if it was, hey Matt, you're in charge of offensive snap count. I get his role, but I wish he brought a little more to the table and. I think about it from a big picture, too, because he's a free agent after the year. Sure, you'd love to have him back, but what's that worth? Is that replaceable? You know, these are off-season questions.
Those guys are, I mean, you look around the league.
They're kind of a dying breed.
The blocking tight ends, who was the guy the Bills had for a long time?
Well, there's Smith from Marshall that's been around the league forever.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, Lee Smith.
Lewis was a first
Mercedes, yeah, I Mercedes mean, Lewis is another
he's like
one.
My age, you know,
the guy the Falcons had, Polynesian player.
He went to Stanford. He was 6'8", too. Yeah.
Another big 6'8", 280.
They can't run at all.
Yeah.
right.
But Baltimore does the same kind of stuff
with Ricard.
With Ricard, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though Ricard doesn't have that length.
But he's 280 pounds. I mean,
it might be 300.
Yeah, he might be 300.
You can tell when Baltimore runs the football, they get to line up and run the ball. The ball's going to Ricard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Follow him. It's funny, we were talking about how Baltimore is really hard to play against and Lamar's record versus teams the first time around. And yeah, he presents a lot of problems, but so does playing against Ricard. Like,
right.
You don't get that every week in the league, and two or three practices does not simulate Ricard's.
I don't even know how you simulate a guy who's 310 pounds or whatever he is, who gets to, you know, he's out there blocking your cornerbacks.
Yeah, you ask one of your D tackles to do it. Or, you know, Aaron Donald, can you be.
Yeah. But they don't run like he does.
No, right.
You know, you're looking for unicorns. They're unicorns.
Right. But that combination of Lamar's speed in person and Ricard with five tight ends on the field is unusual, to say the least.
And he can catch the ball.
And he can catch the ball.
Yeah.
Greg Cosell says this a lot, though, about the Raven offense, is, yes, he can catch the ball, yes, he can carry the ball. But for the most part, they play with four skill position players.
Yeah.
And he's not critical about it. It's like, but they're the only team in the league that chooses not to have one of their skill position players be a potential weapon.
They can get away with it, though, because
the quarterback is
another skill position player out there.
Yeah, and they don't want a lot of receivers on the field.
Yeah.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
One of the ways, and everybody talked about this coming out of the bye after the Chase Claypool trade, what we saw this past week from the Steelers. I just wrote about this on Steelers.com in my Five for Friday. The way they replaced a lot of those snaps was with Gentry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wrote a very similar article about they gave it to big people.
Yeah.
You know, like, Boykin got a little spike. Watt got a little spike. I mean, I know Gunner and Sims both played a fair amount as well, but it was Gentry. It was Hayward. It was bigger people, you know, getting the extra.
And in today's NFL, I mean, you might as well have the quarterback scream across the line of scrimmage, "Hey, we're running the ball here."
Mm-hmm.
But if you're better than more physical than the defense in that situation,
yeah,
you're going to gain yards.
You're going to gain yards. Yeah, I mean, even like last night's game, like if you told me the score, I'd have been like, "Well, Henry must have got 180," but he was effective, even though he didn't put up huge numbers. The Packers didn't have that. You know, I mean, they really shut down the run and couldn't lean on their backs, where Tannehill just ate up single coverage because everyone was so worried about Henry.
Right.
You know?
I mean, you saw Henry throw a touchdown pass
because
you know, he's got the ball. All the linebackers are crashing.
Play action was insane against those guys. You know, I mean, they use it better than anyone. And even though the numbers tell you you don't need to run the ball well, when Derrick Henry's getting the ball, you're
going to
bite.
Guys are going to flow to the football because it's not a one-man job getting him on the ground.
And then all of a sudden Tannehill's hitting Treylon Burks downfield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's massive ripple effects there.
Who else has a 240-pound running back?
Right?
Yeah, I mean,
get him running behind some big people?
Get him running behind some big people and let him do some damage there. Again, if you're getting 3 yards, you're getting 3 yards.
I keep going back to Washington, Philly. They averaged 3.1, and they beat the Eagles in their building.
Handily.
And by handing the ball off for 3 yards a pop time and time again.
Yeah.
By after average backs, you know, in that one. You know, and that's winning in the league right now. And
we
can talk about that all week.
All over the league. All over the league. I wouldn't mind seeing the Steelers do that. And you don't have to make that the basis of your offense.
No, but you got to stick with it.
They hadn't run the ball 43 times in a game.
Who knows? I mean,
I actually looked it up.
No, I'm sure.
I went back through all of the...
The term I've been using all week is voluminous. I just want volume. I don't need Saquon ripping off 50 yarders because 90% of his runs are for 3 yards.
Well, this was that type of game. They hadn't topped 40 carries in a game since running the ball 43 times for 152 yards in a 29-14 win over Cincinnati October 22nd, 2017.
Wow. Okay. So that's the last time they had that many carries.
5 years they hadn't had more than 40 carries.
Interesting.
And you had 40 carries, you averaged less than 4 yards a carry.
In that, when the game you were citing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew you were going to say it was a win.
It was a win.
Because there was a lot of carries, and it was only for 150 yards or whatever, but they turned into wins. You know
what
I mean? Bill Parcells is a huge believer in carries plus completions. There's some magic number. If you get over it, you win like 80% of the time. And there's some chicken or egg there.
Right.
You know, if you're up, then you run out the games, and all of a sudden those numbers increase. But if you get the 26 or whatever it is, you win 8 out of 10 games.
But what we're seeing this year, and we were complaining about it from a fantasy standpoint earlier in the year, as Kyle Pitts owners, the Atlanta Falcons would get down 2 touchdowns. Huh. The Tennessee Titans get down 2 touchdowns. They keep running the football.
They just run the ball anyways, right.
Yeah. We're going to go down and score. I don't know if you saw the stat last night. The Titans, so they hit the play at the end of the game to put the ball inside the 5. They had the longest streak in NFL history of scoring when they were inside the 5 or inside the 10 or whatever it was.
Wow.
Consecutive, like however many times.
You're talking about the very end of the game. I'm like, why'd they throw it
that
there?
Broke their string of consecutive.
Because they kneeled on it.
Yeah.
Instead of giving it to Henry or Henry throwing a jump pass or something crazy.
I mean, you just know when you get down in those situations, you're going to score.
And it's not Chiefs razzle-dazzle stuff.
No, it's not. Hey, we're going to snap the ball to Kelsey and let him you know, flip it behind his back to Mahomes, who then tosses it left-handed into the end zone.
No, it's bringing in Jerome or Earl Campbell and saying, guess what we're going to do.
Hey, again, we're going to run the football here, and you got to stop it.
Yeah, exactly. No, as a purist, it makes me happy that the league is going this direction a little bit. Is it as much fun and, you know, the fantasy numbers as exciting? No, but I'm glad that the running game is coming back in vogue and evening the playing field.
Yeah.
And it's good for the Steelers. I think they've recognized it.
I think they
That's
have.
That's the reason Claypool got traded.
This week if that is the case. They did recognize it. It's something that they say, hey, if we got Claypool, here's the thing.
If it's 10-0 after the first quarter, keep giving it to Hatch.
Yeah. Yes. If you've got Claypool there, now you're back into that situation where, okay, who are our best 11 guys?
He's one of them.
And he's one of them.
Right.
So you got to get him on the field. Well, now you're in a situation, okay, who are our best 11 guys? Well, it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think Claypool had to go. You know, we have to find this out. But I think it was a nice benefit when you're sitting there going, do you want a second-round pick or Claypool? I want a second-round pick.
Yeah.
But then there's part two of that of, well, what do we do next without him? There's a lot of snaps there that need to go elsewhere. Well, of course, in 12 personnel, Pickens is going to get those now. Great, that's easy. But what do you do with that fifth guy in general? Well, you know, we can get bigger as the league is and put a better blocker than Claypool out there,
yeah.
which isn't a real high bar, to be
right.
honest with you.
Right.
And oh, by the way, behind the scenes, you can have this conversation. Let's see of this group who we want to bring back. You know,
well, there's that
Gunner and Sims and
so many teams.
Are they long-term fixes or not?
The Bengals paid Mike Hilton a lot of money
mm-hmm.
to be their nickel corner.
Sure.
Are they going to then say, well, you know, the Steelers are in a big package. We're going to have Hilton stand on the sideline.
Probably.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well,
then they don't have their best 11 on the field.
They don't have their best 11 on the field.
Right.
It's the old.
It's a nose tackle.
It's what happened to the Steelers with Casey Hampton.
Yeah.
All these teams, you know, all of a sudden teams in 2002 decide they're going to start coming out and just throw the ball on the mm-hmm. Steelers and Casey Hampton standing on the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, in those days, I used to say this all the time in the air, it's a catch-22, nose tackles. Because if you don't have Hampton, you're going to get gashed for 6 yards of carry. If you have him, he's going to stay on the sideline like his jersey dirty.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, against most teams. But you got to have him or they're going to put their heavy personnel and you're not going to have a nose that can hold up.
Here's the thing now. Very few teams do have those guys.
Yeah, we're saying they're all unemployed.
Yeah. Now, the Bengals do have...
Reader's that type.
Reader's a good nose tackle.
Yep.
But Reader also hasn't played in 6 weeks.
I wonder how many snaps
he'll
play.
I want to make him play 55 snaps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See if he has his... Okay, maybe his first 10 snaps are really good.
Sure.
What are snaps 40 through 55?
And I don't expect him to be a bad conditioned athlete, but he's heavy.
He's a big dude.
heavy, and he's got a little blubber. Not that I can throw stones, but I mean, yeah, he's not going to condition to play 70 snaps anyway.
Right.
On his best day, let alone coming back from a major injury. I'm sure he'll dress, but that's actually one of my notes pregame. After the game, go check how many snaps Reader played or pay attention to his situation.
What's interesting, because you had this actually in your stat package mm-hmm. this week. The Steelers have offensively have run, 72 plays?
A ton of snaps the last four games.
Yeah.
More than most
in the league.
Yeah, over the last four-game stretch, they're number one.
Now, some of that's because they're having these long, 15-play
sure.
field goal drive.
I know,
And that kind of stuff.
Resulting in a lot of points.
Right. But sooner or later, those are going to be... You're going to start turning those into points. And this is a team, this Bengals team, because I don't think they have a ton of depth.
I agree.
Defensively. Mm-hmm. I want to wear them out.
You want this to be a four-quarter
game. I want to wear them out.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you there. And for people who don't realize, I mean, like a month into the season, the Steelers were still a distant last in time of possession. You know, and a lot of it's because of the Bengals game. They played 90 plays or whatever it was to start, so they dug themselves a hole. Now they're like 12th.
Yeah.
I mean, they came from rock bottom to above average.
Yeah.
Not a long stretch.
Yeah, the offense is possessing the football. If you look at the second half of the game against
the
Saints,
snaps are down.
Every possession they had against the Saints, they moved the football in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, all five of their possessions in the second half were either a score.
Productive.
Yeah, they were productive.
Three and outs or,
right. Even the one, you get the ball at your two, and I'm thinking, boy, this could turn bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was a field goal drive, it was an 83-yard field goal drive.
I mean, even if that's a three and out there.
Oh, you're giving
you
it back to them in midfield.
And punt, it's like, no. I mean,
that's what they were doing
flipper.
Earlier in the season.
Absolutely.
Just getting out to the 30 in that situation mm-hmm. is a win.
I mean, they always had starting bad field position since week one, but a three and out with starting bad field position is different than getting it in midfield, too.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
They all play off each other.
He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about all the other games going on. There's some really interesting stuff going on around the league, to be sure. You can subscribe to SNR's newest podcast, The Godfather of Pittsburgh Sports is Talking Nothing But Steelers. It's Saverin on Steelers. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. You can subscribe today. They're available on the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with more on The Drive right after this.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.